The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony 8.
And it is DCS One-on-One. Right now, we're going to discuss policing communities of color. And we've invited people of all different colors and all different backgrounds to be on the show. And you're welcome to call in if you want to discuss this. Let's start with Senator Quesada first. So I wanted to have Mr. Quesada on because I knew that he would have something to say about Robert O'Brien. Now, this is Trump's national security advisor. And he said this past Sunday, and this is a quote, "I don't think there's systemic racism. I think there are a few bad apples." When he says this, he's talking about the police force. He does not think there's any racism at all. So my question to you, Senator, is what are your thoughts on that? And do you have a solution to repair our very broken justice system?
There's certain professions in our society where we shouldn't have any bad apples, like none, zero. It's kind of like school bus drivers. We wouldn't be okay if like we allowed 9 out of 10 school bus drivers to show up and transport our kids safely, but only one of them gets to show up drunk. You know, that's not cool. You know, you can't, that would not work.
Come on now. Pilots, you gotta preach it.
You know, law enforcement's the same way. We shouldn't have any bad apples because it spoils the whole bunch. And we should be holding all of them accountable. Otherwise, the entire system is broken. Secondly, I think it's false to say that there's only some bad apples if the good ones are keeping quiet and allowing the bad apples to keep doing what they're doing. So if you are a good cop who acts ethically, and yes, they are out there, there's a lot of them out there, and you respect Black lives, but you aren't holding your partner accountable for his or her actions, you are just as guilty. So yes, the good cops, you have an obligation to our community, to your profession, and to Black lives to call out the actions of your partner, do it publicly, and continue to do it until they're held accountable. At the end of the day, it's the MLK quote, "In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." It's a complex problem because it's a complex institution, law enforcement, and the way it was created historically was really racist in nature. So I think an acknowledgement of that and then an attempt to acknowledge that it is systematically broken and it needs to be systematically deconstructed and rebuilt. There's lots of little policy changes we could make. Body cameras on every law enforcement officer, allowing for investigations of deadly use of force by independent bodies, police officers' databases of bad actors, requiring cultural sensitivity training by the law enforcement training boards, limiting qualified immunity, limiting the amount or the use of deadly force. We can enact all of these policies, but we have to start first from the premise that it is a broken system that was created really in a way to control certain communities of color.
I'm glad you brought up the history of police because a lot of people don't understand that policing was actually started to control slaves and help their masters bring them back because Black people were considered property. So I'm very glad that you said that. A lot of people don't know that. It's important for us to recognize our history before we can fix our present.
I mean that too. We got to learn about our history, okay? You really have to learn about the history of this country. Our next guest, he was just featured on Lyrical Lemonade, AJ Bray. He also happens to be a teacher. Okay, he teaches elementary students. And my question for you is, young men of color are more likely to die in police custody than white men. I know for a fact you are an incredibly responsible citizen. Are you afraid of police? Yes, no, and why?
Yeah, when you sent me that question, I thought it was just interesting that you even had to ask me that. Am I scared of the police? Because you don't have to ask everybody that first and foremost.
Nope, sure don't.
100%, I'm scared of the police. I'm not scared of anybody in the world unless he has a police badge on, because that's the only people that's pointed guns at me before. You know what I'm saying? I think if you ask any of my fellow Black friends or just anybody that you know that's Black, are they scared of the police? Have they had run-ins with the police? They're going to say yes. And I have no criminal record, nothing like that. It's happened, you know, too many times. Just every few months is pretty much going to happen. And I know that. So, yeah, I definitely fear the police.
That's trauma, to be in fear constantly. For someone who doesn't understand that, that's trauma that you've had to learn to live with.
Yeah, you learn that.
How
you're taught that.
How do you deal with that, AJ? How do you deal with
that? I think it goes back. I know early in the conversation, we were talking about conversations that your parents have with you about how to deal with the police. And I want to change that a little bit because it was said that, you know, the black conversation is different from the white conversation. And I personally think there is no white conversation. I don't think their parents sit down with them and say, this is what you do when you get pulled over by the police. You know, I don't think any of my white friends have had that conversation with their parents. But I remember since I was 7, 8 years old, my parents had that conversation with me. You know, when you get pulled over, this is what you do. But I think the problem is that even sometimes when you do that, it still doesn't work. The last time I got pulled over a few months ago, the officer came up to my door. I had my hands on my steering wheel, nowhere else, and pointed the gun at me and said, freeze. And my hands were on the steering wheel, wasn't reaching for anything, but he was frightened. And I think a lot of that just comes from police officers and people in general just not being educated and maybe not being around people of color as much. We were talking about how I'm a teacher too. I teach elementary school. And a lot of my students have never been around black people until they have me as a teacher. And these are second, third graders. So I think a lot of things that's needed is, one, I think in the education system, there needs to be more conversation about that. Because if I were to speak about being African-American and how to deal with the police, I probably wouldn't have a job right now. So I think that's a problem that needs to be an open conversation that we have in schools. And I think that we also just need to just have that conversation everywhere, even with the police force. Tell them, hey, you don't have to be scared of black people, because pulling your gun out on someone is what you do when you're frightened. That's what you do when you're scared. And for him to do that to me when I hadn't even done anything yet, that's how I know he was scared. So that's what we need to get to.
Brings us back to, I think, what a great point that Dana made earlier, that this is trauma, like that all of this is trauma to our communities. And when we start to deflect away from focusing on what the cause of that trauma is and focusing on the outcomes of that trauma instead, we're doing all of ourselves a disservice. And it's just like, I'm sure AJ knows, man, as a teacher, when you have a child that's acting out, it's usually because they're suffering from some sort of trauma. You can discipline the behavior all you want and focus on that, but you will never solve that underlying trauma. As a community, we are facing all sorts of trauma. We're facing trauma from abuse by law enforcement. We're facing trauma because of gun violence. We're facing trauma because of poverty, because of lack of healthcare. And we don't know how to react all the time, just like a second grader or a third grader who just acts out because they're frustrated. So we need to focus on what that underlying cause of all of that trauma is. And that's the only way we're all gonna heal. And like you all said too, man, we're all on the same team here. And it's a very intentional effort to divide and conquer us and to keep us separate and to think that that's just a black issue or immigration's just a Latino issue or poverty's just a this issue. No, it's all of our issues and we all suffer from it. And so we all need to stand together and we all need to take it personal. Because it's personal to all of us.
It is very personal to all of us. And I know it's personal to you as well. You can call in and speak on this, please. You're welcome to engage in this conversation. This is about changing the system. It is not just George Floyd. There are countless nameless others who've gone through the exact same thing. And we want to stop it. We want to stop having this conversation. We want solutions. When the Dana Cortez Show returns, we have State Representative Alma Hernandez on, who, by the way, I did not know this, experienced police brutality personally. In fact, it left her with a lifetime injury. So we'll have her on next. Please call in. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
If you're just turning the Dana Cortez Show on, this is DCS One-on-One, and we are talking policing in communities of color. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Andre A.
So now we're going to talk to State Representative Alma Hernandez. And here's something, you know, she's a Democrat. So my question is, both Republicans and Democrats support Bill H.R. 1154. I want everybody listening to Google that. It's H.R. 1154. This allows every police officer to join a police union, even though unions fail to admit any error. They don't correct their own. So do you support this? And what can be done from within the unions to change the status quo?
Majority, almost all Dems do support and will always support unions, and I'm very proud of that. However, as you mentioned, there are things that are done that disproportionately affect certain communities because we're not holding people accountable. I think there are things that could be done on a union level that could change sort of what's going on in the community. communities. By the way, there is a history of, as you mentioned, that we have seen things that are done that cover up either what officers or law enforcement are doing, kind of protecting each other, right? So when you have organizations that do that, we have to be a little more transparent in the process. We have to be able to allow community members and have organizations that can have input on how they are doing their investigations and such. So I think it's very important to include the communities. And quite frankly, part of the reason I ran for office was because of my personal experience with police brutality. When I was 14 years old, many people don't know this, but I was attacked by an SRO, school resource officer. They are predominantly in Hispanic and Latino and Black communities, low-income communities on school campuses. I was unfortunately attacked, ended up going to juvie for something I didn't do, and had to fight the broken criminal justice system for a year and a half to prove my innocence. It's something that follows me every day because I suffer from severe spinal damage from the injury. And for me, I don't hate officers, even though the officer did a horrible thing to me, tried to ruin my life as a teenager. I worked with a governor last year to do to put an appropriation of $1 million into training for police officers. I'm really proud of that. You know, it's not perfect and it's not exactly everything I wanted, but we are at least holding officers who are going on school campuses accountable and making sure that they have de-escalation training, bias training, to be able to ensure that they're hopefully going to be able to use what they learn in trainings and prevent any other situation like mine to occur again. But the school boards unfortunately did what many organizations do to cover up their employees. And it was a horrible thing for a year and a half, have to prove my innocence. I was kicked out of high school, had to go in an alternative school. It took a year and a half before they finally dropped the case because they found the officer was lying. So for me, being someone who, first of all, came with no means, my family couldn't afford a private attorney, and having to prove my innocence and having teachers who came to testify, students who watched the entire encounter when I was dragged on the street, stomped on the ground. I am very fortunate to be here right now and to be in the position that I am as an elected official. What happened to me should never happen to anyone again, but that officer continues to work. He continues to wear a badge and continues now, although he was demoted and no longer works as a patrol officer or is allowed on school campuses, what he did to me is probably still happening to other people. And it is extremely frustrating to know that. And as an elected official now, I try my best to share my story with people and say, hey, look, this can happen to anyone. I'm literally sitting here as an elected right now. And let me tell you, I know the first thing whenever I share my story is, what did you do wrong? No one ever cares to know, like, how did this happen to you? No, it's like, what did you do to make
what
this?
What did you do wrong? Yeah.
And I think we need to move away from that because it's not what I did. You know, my only issue was I was brown, I was poor, and I was in a school where we had a white officer. And for me, I did nothing wrong. Yet I was accused of something I didn't do. And if I didn't have my parents at home who continue to fight with me, I would have gone from the school to prison pipeline. Let me tell you, I would have went from juvie straight to prison for something I didn't do and had no control over.
Thank you, State Representative Alma Hernandez. We now have Lonnie White. He's an activist in his community. He's also a counselor. Lonnie, my question for you is, the death of George Floyd has outraged all of America. This is not the first, second, third, 10th time that we've had this conversation. But, you know, I want to know how you feel about the protesting. How do you feel about the rioting and what's happening across the nation?
Again, I said, thanks for inviting me. And that question has been asked to me. And I've been actually explaining that over and over about the rioting and the looting. Now, as a precursor to what I'm about to say, rioting is lawlessness. Looting is lawlessness. I am against it. I'm not for it. I'm not condoning it. But you ask a question, so now I will explain it. I like to give examples like parables. You take Mentos and you put it in a bottle of Coke and you begin to shake the bottle and you begin to shake the bottle and you begin to shake the bottle. Eventually, that bottle is going to explode. And when it explodes, it is going to get everything around it wet, even though everything around it had nothing to do with the bottle. They've told us to peacefully protest. Colin Kaepernick, the most peaceful way you can protest in the world, took a knee. He lost his job. Shake the bottle. Well, send letters to your congressman. We send letters to the congressman. Shake the bottle. Well, maybe we should sit down peacefully and march together and get with our fellow brothers and something will change. Nothing's changed. Shake the bottle. Shake the bottle. Now the bottle has exploded and people are now acting shocked as to why a bottle exploded. This is simply the symptoms of an illness and no one wants to talk about the illness. You can talk about and criticize the illness all you want, but until the actual, or the symptoms all you want, but until the actual illness is addressed, the symptoms will continue to get worse and to get worse. And the question is, what can I do? What can I do? And I talked to some of my Caucasian American friends. What we're doing now, the conversation. Caucasian Americans, whether they want it, whether they claim it, whether they accept it or not, they have white privilege. What white privilege is that whenever they get pulled, when they see red and blue lights in their rearview mirror, the first thing they get to think about is, man, I hope I don't get a ticket. If I see red and blue lights in my rearview mirror, the first thing I think of is, I hope I don't get killed.
Yes.
I was talking to another young man. He was asking what he could do. The conversation has to continue. Because the fact of the matter is, Otto, again, you're Caucasian American. If you so chose, and I'm not saying you do because you're an awesome person, but if you so chose, in 3 days, you could stop talking about this. You could go on about your life and not have to worry about it
totally
again.
Totally forget it, yes.
Yeah. If you so chose to, you could do that. I don't have that choice.
And just embrace all my white privilege and just F everybody else. Yeah, exactly. You're right.
You could be on social media now, like Black Lives Matter. But in 3 days, if you so chose, you could not talk about this ever again because you have that opportunity. You have that privilege. And that's what's happening with a lot of our white American friends is they are with us. We're with us. We're with you. And a week later, they're not with us anymore.
I did a whole post of like, I want to see you next week, and I want to especially see you in November, because if you're that riled up right now, I need to make sure you vote in November, because that's the only real change we're going to ever see.
Keep that same energy. I mean, it needs to be something that you talk about to Ava at dinner. And I told that to one of my Caucasian American friends. He's like, well, that's not actually a good dinner topic. I said, welcome to my world. See, the conversation that I had with my son about how he should react when he gets pulled over by a cop is way different than the conversation that you have with your son about how he should behave when he gets pulled over.
But that is good dinner talk. He's wrong. That is good dinner talk. Those are the kind of conversations we have every day. I've always had with my daughters. Maybe it's because of the way we grew up too. My mom, you know, grew up in the South. So it's very different in certain parts of small town West Texas. My family was subject to Jim Crow. Little bitty towns in Texas, people don't understand in the South. It took a long time for them to catch up. Maybe that's why I've always talked to my daughters like that. But for him to even say that, well, that's not good talk. That's the best talk.
They're uncomfortable talking about things like that. Man, I don't know if I want to talk. Yeah, you need to. This needs to be discussed every day. This has to be talked about every day. And for us Blacks and Browns, I've said this to some people, we're great athletes, great boxers. We need to stop pushing our kids so much to be the next NBA star and speak to them about getting into politics.
Oh.
They need to be the next generation. And then we need to be voting so that whenever they get to that stage, we can vote for them. But again, that's part of the machine. Let's keep the Black people, let's keep the brown man. Mexicans are good at soccer. Let's keep them kicking the ball. Brothers are good at basketball. Let's keep them doing that thing. It's kind of like if you put a piece of candy, you know, when you're in your house and you're doing something, Dana, and you're really busy and your baby's bothering you. Well, let me put a piece of candy over here and that'll keep the baby occupied so I can do what I need to do. So they're putting these things in front of us as candy to keep us occupied so that they can continue to do what they need to do. We've got to, as people, recognize this is a ploy inside your own group. Check your own people. Tell them, hey, that's not okay.
That also includes family members. I can't tell you how many family members
I've blocked
because I'm like, I do not need that in my life.
I think it's
our job to hold everyone accountable, including our loved ones, because we have people, we all have that one cousin in the family or uncle or whatever, the tia, who says something stupid and continues to do it because no one calls them or her out. I just want to mention it's also our family members that we need.
I love that. And something else you said, Lonnie, you know, when you talk about brown and black communities in general and also impoverished communities, there's this lie to pit brown and black against each other.
This is a conversation that we had on Zoom yesterday, and we had to edit down what I think are the most important parts, but the entire conversation is up on our YouTube. Please subscribe, Dana Cortez Show. It is also going to be available on our podcast, all streaming platforms. It's very much more in depth, but the most important thing about having this talk was not just about passion, because we talked about this and we're all passionate about it. I want to offer solutions for real change, and I want to hold our politicians accountable. If you are not supporting policy that affects my community in a positive way, we're going to vote you out. Register and vote. We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
When you were little, did you ever sing this? First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes consummating in front of the parents.
What?
Yeah, I didn't think so. WTF Store here on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
That's so gross. DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Well, for one family, this is how the story goes. 23-year-old soon-to-be groom posted on Reddit that his fiance expected him to consummate the marriage in front of her parents because this is a family ritual.
Okay. What? I knew it was going to get weird the moment you mentioned Reddit, but they want these people to get together and then give them like X-lax and have them relieve themselves?
No.
Consummate.
Not constipate.
Consummate means have sex.
What?
Sexy time in front of her parents.
Oh, that's even weirder. I mean, it's still kind of ill.
Both are weird.
Your part's weirder.
I didn't.
The husband and wife are supposed to go into the master bedroom together, and the parents wait outside the door so they can applaud them and cheer when they come out. Then a piece of the bed sheet is cut off and sewn into a big tapestry that the girlfriend's mother owns. This is supposed to help bring fertility, fruitfulness, and hopefully a firstborn child after they do the deed, the sexy time.
Ew, no, I bet your mom was a freak.
A freak in the morning, a freak in the evening.
This sounds like the most Dwight Schrute thing I've ever heard. I mean, did they do this on a beat farm?
I don't know, Automatic. I don't know. The man shared that he gets along really well with the entire family, but it totally freaked him out. He said under no circumstances would he ever do that. He called the wedding off.
Good for him.
I mean, she's available. Where's she at? At Anthony A400 on Instagram. Grandma, you can come on too. Bring a freak yourself, girl.
That's your WTF story. Get it, everybody, through Friday at this time, only on the Dana Cortez Show. We'll be back with more in less than five.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's what guys think here on the Dana Cortez Show. Ladies, this is our day to ask any question we want of our brothers, the men, and they answer honestly. We're the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And I'm always here for us ladies. I can't help it. I am a woman. And I want, you know, for us to have all the opportunities that men have. We talk a lot about single mothers. I was a single mother for a very long time. Struggled. No child support. You know the story. But there are also a lot of great fathers in the world. And we wanted to highlight one in particular who listens, even though there are many.
Can I say one thing, Dana, before you go on to tell a story about the great man, too? Another thing I do appreciate about this topic and what we do allow guys the option to do on Thursday is to express themselves. Like, we're going through this big change, and certain homies, I've been talking to so many men who just can't, like, are having trouble grieving with the emotional impact of what we're going through. And this opens up the forum. If you have anything to say, nope, it's all open, bro. White, black, brown, whoever want to call in, homie to homie, if you want to come in and talk to us, we're here to listen too. So,
and we've heard a lot of men who called and say that they have trouble with their women being more successful than them. All of a sudden, the world is changing. The world is changing. But, you know, having been, like I said, a single mother for a very long time, I wanted to highlight Jason, who I feel like is a friend of the show. Everybody who's ever listened to a Dana Cortez Show called in, you're our family. You know, we're building a family here. And Jason is going to tell the story of becoming a homeowner, being a single father. And
with two daughters.
With two daughters. He's a girl dad by himself.
I want to cry.
I will tell you, when he's going to talk about being a homeowner, I remember buying our first home. I remember that feeling of unlocking the door and walking into that house with my daughters and feeling proud because I showed them, you don't need anybody to buy a house. You could do this on your own. But that being said, you shouldn't have to. When you make children, we should help that child, right? That's what it takes, two people. Of course, we could do it on our own, and you can, but you shouldn't. And so Jason is doing it on his own. He's building this beautiful story as a single father of two daughters. So we come back, I promise you, this is something that's going to touch your heart.
Oh, ring the alarm. It's a positive single dad story.
Oh, it is. Ladies, call everybody you know. Fellas, call your boys and turn the radio up. Jason's story next. It's What Guys Think on the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
If you just turned What Guys Think on here on the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A, we set up this story of one of our family members. That's what we call you. If you're listening, your family, Jason, he called us a couple of days ago, and we go back because I was going to try to set Jason up with a good woman because he's single. And you'll hear that in his call.
Busy right now.
He's been busy because he just became a homeowner. Let's play the call now. Hi, it's the Dana Cortez Show. Who is this?
What's up, Dana?
What's up? Who's this?
Dana, this is Jason.
Jason, hello.
I received a phone call from you. From you and your crew.
Jason, I'm sorry. There's been a lot going on in the world, but you know we want to talk to you. Go ahead.
You remember when I called and said I was getting a house and I'm a single parent of two daughters?
I do remember that. I actually wanted to make a whole topic on you and find you a woman. Remember that? I remember. But then all this happened, dude. I swear, if aliens land tomorrow, I won't be shocked, Jason. In 2020, I will not be shocked if the aliens land tomorrow. My goodness.
Yeah. But hey, guess what? We got our keys and we are somewhat all moved in.
Woo woo. Let's go.
You're moved into your home? Seriously?
Yes, ma'am.
That makes me so happy.
You should have seen my live clip. My live clip was pretty cool.
What did your kids say coming into their home with their father?
I did a live clip on Facebook and the builder, she gave me the key and I walked around the front and she's like, aren't you going to go in there? Are you going to open it? I was like, nah. I said, I wanted to be a homeowner for 1 minute in my life. Then I turned around and I gave the keys to my daughters.
Oh, man.
I'm getting so emotional right now. You allowed them to open the door.
Yeah. I said, it's not mine. It's just theirs. I don't know. They're only 10 and 13, so it's probably just whatever, you know?
How long have you been waiting to be a homeowner, sir?
Oh, dude, I am 41, single parent for like 10 years, 10 plus years.
This is a dream. This is a dream come true.
Over a decade.
And,
yeah.
it can happen. And I'm sure your daughters will remember this moment for the rest of their lives. And they'll see that hard work paid off. It's not just a dream. People can dream, but it's execution,
oh,
right?
God.
It's working toward the goal.
There's never a higher display of man than to set a home down for your children and the next of kin, bro. Congratulations. It's a very big feat. You should feel as proud as you do. And I appreciate you for saving this moment to call us. That makes me feel
not just that, but think about it. He had enough foresight. Let me give these keys to my girls.
Right. Well, I know. Think about the impact you made on their life. My dad cares that about me that much. My dad loves me that much. And that love's going to be reciprocated to the children that they have.
And as a girl dad, I want to say something to you because we know what kind of man you are. Obviously, people listening are going to know what kind of man you are. But to anybody who's a father of a little girl, every man that they look to for the rest of their lives, whether you are present or absent, will be represented by you. So if you treat your daughters well, they will look for a man who treats them well. If you're absent or you mistreat them, that is also what they'll look for. So Jason, thank you for being a positive role model, not only to your daughters, but to a lot of young daughters and women listening. I appreciate it. Jason actually captured this moment on video, and I really want you to watch it. I want you to share it. We all need some positivity. So go to Instagram at Dana Cortez. If you're on Facebook, Dana Cortez Show. We'll post this video along with the story as well. And I'm speaking to parents out there who might not get along with the person you chose to have a child with. It's not about you. It's about your kids. Please put those children first. We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Normally, we're debating here on a Dana Cortez Show, but today we're having a conversation. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And I think it's the same conversation that the entire country is having. We all witnessed the senseless murder of George Floyd on camera by a police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Let's make it clear, it's four police officers.
I was going to say he was accompanied by three other people who I think assisted in the crime, who should also face charges. You know, Automatic and Anthony, I want to ask you, what do you want to happen to these cops?
I want them to go to jail. I want them to go to jail for life. I want them to feel, I want their families to feel the loss that George Floyd's family feels.
And I want also the perspective to be switched too, from these guys aren't just a couple bad apples. Like, this is something that's been going on to oppress people for decades in this country. And you have to wrap
centuries.
Your head around that is happening here. This isn't just a one-time situation. It's happened in Ferguson 4 years ago. And we're right
Rodney
back.
King happened 30 years ago.
And then there's other people throughout the country who are going through this right now unspoken. So like, I would like for the cops, yes, to be tried and found guilty for murder and serve life. And whatever has to happen to murderers has to happen to them.
Think of how comfortable he was on camera. He did not care. Imagine if there was no camera there, what would have happened? Even, I mean, what happens when there's no camera there? Second question, Anthony A., I'll ask you first. What is the solution to what's happening and what's been happening for centuries?
I'm a firm believer with protests with no follow-up falls on deaf ears. So I think after people have, you know, risen up and let the voice of the oppressed be heard, you got to get out there. You got to fill out your census. You got to vote. You got to get in touch with your local policymakers and really start to learn how to beat the system within. So I think the next step for us as Americans is to get educated and get out there and vote.
Everything that Anthony said, and the last thing, education. Education is so important. Nobody can ever take your education away from you. And the more informed you are, the more powerful you are.
And that doesn't mean only getting your college degree, only, you know, going to technical school, only getting your diploma. Those are all things that I think everyone should strive for. But I don't have a degree. You know what I do every day? I read. I want to know what's happening. Why is this happening? Why? And what can I do to change things? Once you ingest that knowledge, it is so powerful. And like Automatic said, it can never be taken from you. So please don't just register to vote. Show up to the ballot box. We'd like to hear from you. What do you want to happen to these cops? And what's your solution? 833-DANA-SHOW. We'll put you on the radio when we come back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
If you just tuned in to the Dana Cortez Show, we're not debating. We always debate at this time. We're having a discussion. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
The senseless murder of George Floyd has us all thinking about what should happen to the cop. First of all the cops. I know what I want should happen. We open the phone lines up for you. And also, what is the solution? We're going to tackle all of that while we take this call. What's your name?
It's Karina. How are you guys?
Hi, hey, Karina. We're doing well. Go ahead, mama.
I wanted to talk to you guys about what's going on with authority figures. If you're doing something wrong, you have to accept your consequences.
You're talking about the cop, right? You want him to accept his consequences?
Yeah, he should. I think he should get the death penalty. But at the same time, you got to think, he has a family, but at the same time, he has to face his consequences.
His wife divorced him.
You know, she already filed for divorce.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay, I'm behind them.
And you want to hear something even more interesting? They used to work together at a club.
George Floyd and the cop. That crooked, murdering cop used to work together.
As security at a nightclub.
Well, I heard that part. But at the same time, everything that's going on with the protests and everything, there's other ways to go about it. Yes, everybody's sick and tired of it. I was sick and tired of it when the whole Mexican thing was going on. A couple of months ago or years ago. And nobody,
it's still going on right now. And nobody's talking about it because there's no fancy hashtag. It's still happening.
Exactly.
We still talk about it. We still try to bring awareness, but there's no fancy hashtag attached to it. So nobody really cares. I don't want people to forget this. And the one thing I want to tell you, I know you're passionate, but what is the solution then? We turn the other cheek, we protest peacefully, and it continues. This isn't a conversation that's only a year old or 2 years or 10 years or 30 years.
Exactly.
It's hundreds of years old. And I think people are tired of talking. And I don't condone the protesting. I mean, I condone the protesting, but I don't condone the rioting and the stealing. But I'm like, what else do people need to do to get attention to change the system from the inside out? What can we do?
And it goes back, I have had this discussion with so many people about how everything's being destroyed. Taxpayers have to pay all of the damage that is going on. But at the same time, I know everybody is tired of being silent. And I'm one of them. I'm sick and tired of it, too. I had to take in a family of three kids because their father got deported. Their mother can't work. Why? Because they don't have legal papers here. But you see other people doing worse things. And it's not okay. But destroying places, stealing things from stores, lighting places on fire is definitely not the way. If we want the attention of someone, what we need to do is get all the ignorant, incompetent people that are in the seat, basically, like the president and everybody else that has authority, off of authority, and get the right people on there.
That's right. We need to vote. That's the only way. It's the most powerful tool that we have as citizens. People died for it. Women, it hasn't even been 100 years that we've been able to vote until August. That's when the 19th Amendment was enacted. Not only that, women of color, if you're Latina or African-American, it hasn't been 100 years for us. We had another 20, 25 years of fighting
Karina,
to be able to vote.
You're voting, correct?
Of course I am.
Oh, good, good.
Of course, she's smart.
Karina, you should help us try to get more women registered to vote.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're the most powerful voting bloc in the country, women. We got to come together. We can fix it. We fix everything. Damn, we've been we got to fix this too. Karina, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. You made me feel better. And I want to mention something. You talk about the taxpayers having to pay back. I want everybody who's listening to do me a favor and Google police lawsuits in your city. You will not believe how many millions of dollars your taxpayers are already going very quietly to fix these incidents over and over again, and nobody ever talks about them. There's not a video for every single one of them. So if you really are against this, trust me, get out and vote. Thank you for listening, Mama. We love you so much. Thank you.
Love you guys, too. Have a great one.
Bye.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.